Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Loud enough? No? Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 4 and 5, 4 through 5, and then we're going to skip down 32 through 37. When everybody have it, let me get a swish. No, not like that. And it says, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Verse 32 says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight in the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art by a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. 36. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and an uncircumcised Philistine that shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Last verse, 37. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and let the Lord be with thee. Today we're going to call this sermon March Madness, the road to the ultimate prize. Today, March is one of my favorite months of the year. Why? Because it's March Madness, baby. For those who don't know who March Madness is, it is continuous basketball for 4.5 weeks. There are 351 Division I basketball teams and men's basketball teams, and 349 Division I women's basketball team. That's 5,503 eligible men players who have to keep their grades up, boys.
Muted. Unmuted.
And 5,124 eligible women, a total of 10,663 players, Division I players, who work hard daily in the classroom and on the court to try to make their team make it to the big dance, which is the big dance or the Final Four. From the beginning of the season to the end of the season, all they want to do is let their team cut down the final nets. My question at the beginning was, what seed are you? Are you a number one seed or are you a number 16 seed? Well, first I have to explain what a seed is. In basketball, like I said, there are 351 Division I men's basketball teams. Out of all these teams, only 68 get to go to the to the tournament, which we call the playoffs. 32 of these teams get automatic bids. 36 of these teams get in based on their performance. Example, North Carolina Central, a small school in Raleigh, was to be one of the 32 teams because they won the MEAC. A school like a Duke, a UNC, or Kansas will be one of the 36 teams based on their performance. I will get them props. They are in the Elite Eight, and we went home 2 weeks ago. It's okay. My question is, as a believer, would you be one of the 36 teams who got in to heaven based on your performance? Things that make you go home. Even though you are a smaller school going against a top major school, they both have one thing in common. They want to win a national championship. Now, a 16 team have never beat a number one team, but there's a first time for everything. As a believer, just because you and I may not be on the same level on our Christian walk, we are still shooting for the same goal, the ultimate prize. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, Goliath will probably be a number one seed. Based on his altitude, he has a major attitude. He is known as a champion of the Philistine. He had all the weapons to be successful: size, armor, arrogance. In other words, he was a force to be reckoned with. Then there's David, young man about the age of 15, who will be considered a number 16 team. He will be with a local school like the North Carolina Central. We all know about it. It's reported about the national level, probably not on everyone's radar. See, David was an anointed king of Jerusalem at the age of 15, but did not get the position until the age of 30. You see, sometimes you can be given a title, but you are not operating in authority or as a leader until you're given the position. The thing that David had against him was his age, because everyone thought that he was too young or not experienced enough. Look at verse 33. Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy." He has been fighting young men from his youth, which means that Goliath has been fighting since he was a young age. It is no different from March Madness. You have some teams who have young players, but since they have not seen on a national level, you have people like ESPN who says that they cannot be the number one team. How many times has the enemy put in your head that you're not experienced enough, don't have the qualifications, or you're not pretty enough? I don't have a degree, or that person will get the position because they have been in the job longer than I have. How many of you know that God is the best commentator in the land, and he will not count you out? Since we're on the subject of March Madness and basketball, let us put ourselves in the walk as a Christian using a basketball player analogy and getting to the ultimate prize. Please have pen and paper ready. The start of your career. In Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." You see, before you were born, God already had a plan for you. God had a plan for David. Even though his brothers were jealous of him and he made plenty of mistakes, he already knew that he was going to be a king of Jerusalem at a young age. We all know that God has given us a gift when we are created. Just like a ball player, you're working, practicing, and crafting your gift. When was the last time you talked to God about your gift? The only reason why I'm asking that is because God sees you working on your gift he has given you. He will bless you even more. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Now that you are put in the work, here's kind of the recruitment part. You see, in basketball, once you work hard at your gift, you start to get noticed. You start to get letters in the mail, coaches coming to see your talents and gifts, and then even invite you to campus for the visit. Coaches making promises and deals they are not supposed to get you on their team. The enemy tries that at all times. See, God does some recruiting as well. But just like a head coach, He was sending His Holy Spirit to do recruiting for you, for him. When God recruits you in your spirit, everything he happens, and when God recruits you in your spirit, everything he promises is 100% true. See, he would come to a person like a, which one of you? Levi. Luke. He would come to Luke and be like, Luke, you have many talents, man. I seen your skills, seen you shoot the ball, averaging about 18 points a game, double doubles every game. I'd like you to come to my campus. I can get you your dad that new car he wants. Get your mom that house she wants. But don't tell nobody because it's against the rules. What do you think? Thinking about it? Are you going to come see your campus? Even though it's wrong, you're going to come check it out. Oh, think about it. To be God operates in a different way. God would say, based on the talents that I have given you, you don't need to cheat. You don't need to go and do things that you're not supposed to. If God wanted your daddy to have a truck, he's going to give your daddy the truck. If your God wanted your mama to have this big house, he's going to give her a big house. In other words, take that ball and do what God's giving you. Amen? Amen. God does some recruiting as well. Once you have been recruited by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will you join his team? Since we are all on the same team, let's give him a big thank you, Jesus, right now. Oh, come on. Let's give him a big thank you, Jesus, right now. Now, like I said, on March 20th, my team lost to South Carolina. No smickles, no giggles, none of that. We lost 88-81. Again, a lower seed beat a bigger seed. And one of the reasons they lost because South Carolina was not afraid just because their name was Duke. They put in the hard work, just like David. Just because Goliath was known as the top dog, he was not afraid to take him on. Saul was the original king of Jerusalem, and it was his job to take him down. But when they saw how big and strong Goliath was, they got afraid. David stepped in and said, if I can kill a lion and a bear, surely I can take a Goliath out. Now that is an underdog mentality. Church, we are in the postseason, which is called the game of life. We know that Jesus is coming back soon, and it is up to us to make sure that we are putting in the time and energy and making sure that we have everything that we need to get to the ultimate prize, which is the kingdom of heaven. So before I wrap up, is it okay if I take you on a title of life no matter what I see this? How will you join our? How will you be on our team? The first thing you need to be on a team is team chemistry. Proverbs 27:17 says, "It's iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." David has a lot of negative people in his corner, even saying that he was too young or he was not capable of beating Goliath. Church, one of the things that we have to do as Christians is pray for one another. We need to pray for health, our talents, our finances, and even in our Christian walk, because there are a lot of haters out there that don't want us to succeed. Now, people look at LFB as a number 16 seed because we're small. But church, that doesn't mean nothing. There's a lot of number one teams who go down. There are a lot of number 16 seeds who make it to the next level. We're just in the beginning. Part of a 16 seed is building your program up so that future will come in and future talents. Next thing that makes a good, successful ball player is defense. Where my defensive player is at? Where my Fab Five at? Hold the ball. If I call out a defensive stand, what does that mean? Show me a defensive stand. Smack the ground. Defense. All right. Stay there. When they smack the ground, that means that, in their language, bring it on. Bring everything you got, enemy. There's nothing that can stop us. One of the things that helps us in defense is that we need to protect everything and everything that matters to us. In LFB church, we need to play defense on our pastor. There's a lot of people who would like to go after our pastor. There's a lot of enemies who like to attack our pastor. But if we smack the ground and protect our pastor, there's nothing that can get past him. Father, our leadership is another thing that the enemy wants to attack. But if we smack the ground, if we smack the ground and protect our leadership, we're ready for the next level. One of the main things is, again, Matthew says, 18:19 says, again, truly, if I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done by my Father in heaven. So again, if we smack the ground, there's nothing that can get past us. Thanks, fellas. Another thing that we're in games is rebounding. God is going to shoot some things in your life that will make some kinds come off the rim. But are you ready for the rebound? Luke, come here. If God shoots some things in your life, how do you box out?
Box out.
Yeah. Yep. Boxing out for a rebound means that if God has shoot some things in your life, I'm going to protect everything and anything around me to make sure that I catch my blessing. Because if I'm not ready for the rebound, which means that the enemy can take everything that God has for me. Thank you again, sir. Thank you. Last thing that's able to win the game is offense. Definition of offense is the action of attacking or engaging an opposing team with a goal. The offenses that we have in our lives is simply to do God's will. He has put a ball in our hand to make godly decisions and to represent his team daily. David was to prove to all his doubters that he could beat Goliath. Philippians 3:14 says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One of the things, churches, that we have to do is that we have to be ready at all times to take it to the next level. In order to win the game, again, we have to have team chemistry. Again, we have to have defense. One of the defensive stands is to make sure that we smack the ground when it's time to defend who we love. Third is rebounding. God is going to shoot some things in our life that may not always go in when we want it to, but it may go off the rim. To the factor that when it does go out the rim, are we ready for the rebound? Lastly is offense. God has given us a ball of offense, which means that are we ready to lead anybody or anything that he has put in front of us? LRB, once he has given us a life to make Christ decisions, remember, are you a number one seed or are you a 16th seed? We are all going to the same goal, which is Christ in heaven. Even though the top seeds may go down first, that means some days that you have to battle like crazy, just like David did with Goliath. If you do everything in the name of Jesus, we are known as a champion. Think about this. Just like the Hall of Fame of sports, every year when they have new inductees, the previous Hall of Famers come back. And some introduce the future inductees. When I leave this earth, I want to go and see the Hall of Famers up in heaven. So in this thing called life, take this, run with it, and make sure that we are ready to win the ultimate prize. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, sir. You want the ball, don't you?
Amen, amen, amen. Might not have understood March Madness and might not know all the basketball terminology and all that other kind of stuff, but it applies to God's word today the way that Minister McCleary brought it. Amen, 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 amen. For us to do the ultimate, to win the ultimate prize, we have to understand that there's team chemistry, meaning that we all got to come together. There's defense that we have to protect what God has given us. There's rebounding and offense. We have to be ready to attack the enemy. Amen. 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 Come on, let's put our hands together one more time. Amen, 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 amen. I pray and I hope that you receive something from today's word. I pray and I hope that in the presentation of what God has given Minister McClary to share with you today, that it's sparked inside of you a personal decision. A personal decision could be a few different things. You could have a personal decision to say, hey, again, I might not have understood the whole basketball thing. You might have understood it. But in looking at it, understanding that, you know, you're not going to win by yourself. You're not going to win by yourself. Everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs somebody. So that might be your personal decision today. You might see that there are some areas in your life that, you know, you might not look as favorable. You might not look as good under that light. So you figure that you can just go out and take care of that all on your own. It's not going to work out that way. You need somebody. You can't do it by yourself. That defense part, protection. Protect what God has given you. Have a zeal like David had. David said, look, this is my God you're talking about. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how bad you think you are. I'm going to protect what God has given me. Maybe that might be your personal decision. Maybe you might be in an area in your life right now where that rebounding is what's important. Whatever has come at you, you got to be ready. Be ready to receive what's coming next. That's what a rebounder does. A rebounder makes sure that they're in the correct position and that they're ready to receive it, that they're ready to get ready to go to. You got to be ready. Got to be ready. And maybe you might find yourself in a place of finding yourself in offense where you have to be ready to attack. Set back for too long. Now it's time to attack. I don't know. But as everyone is standing in this place, if that's your personal decision, if you would have a personal decision today and say, you know what, listening to today's sermon, I see some areas where I can do some things different. I see some areas where I can change some things. There are some areas in my life that I want to be different. I want to be better. God, help me. God, help me to respond however it is I need to respond, to do what it is you're calling me to do. The ultimate goal in the end, regardless of where we started out, no matter what we've gone through, no matter what has happened in the middle, the ultimate goal is to reach heaven. And I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. I don't know about you. When my time comes, I want to hear, well done. When my time comes, I know I haven't crossed every T and dotted every I. I know I haven't always done everything that's right. But I know in my heart and I believe that God's grace and mercy will carry me long as I do what it is I'm supposed to do.